You were before the Senate Budget Committee last week testifying about the Pentagon's budget situation. What did you have to say to them?
Well, Francis, it was a great hearing and chaired by Senator Ken Conrad, who led off by showing a series of charts laying out the growth in the defense budget over the last 15 years, which was, I think, quite illuminating. He noted up front that the defense budget was about $254 billion in 1997, and today, including cost of the war, it's up to nearly $645 billion. So we looked at what caused that, what could be done in the coming years to bring that down.
What are your thoughts about what could happen in the coming years to make that number smaller?
Well, I think there's a lot of good work that's already been done. Secretary Gates, before he left the department, was on a cost efficiencies initiative, which found about $100 billion in savings. That effort's continued, and I think the current defense budget that the administration just submitted reflects quite a bit of work to continue to ratchet down some of the costs. But, of course, the big fear out there is not bringing costs down to moderate levels, but really this giant sledgehammer that's looming at the end of the year called sequestration.
Have you been surprised to hear Secretary Panetta and General Dempsey say on occasion after occasion after occasion they've not done any planning or any preparation for sequestration?
Well, there's a point at which I think even they would acknowledge that there's going to have to be some behind closed doors, quiet planning going on, because right now that is the law of the land. It's not something that might happen. It's something that absolutely will happen on the 31st of December, unless there's some remarkable efforts that are done during the lame duck session of Congress that's going to transpire after the 4 November election.
Someone who's in a role as you were at one time, very, very highest level of uniformed personnel in one branch or another of the military, when you're sitting in that chair and you're watching this back and forth in Washington from a location somewhere around the world where you have people under your command in harm's way, what are you thinking about that process?
Well, I think it's been pretty remarkable that when Secretary Panetta and General Dempsey have traveled out to see troops in Afghanistan over the last 6 months or so, the first questions from the troops haven't been about the course of the war. They've been about retirement and pay and benefits. So it's clearly on the minds of all those young soldiers and non-commissioned officers and officers out there, even in the midst of the fighting. So this is serious, and it has a big morale impact on the force.
How severe is it? How willing or able are the men and women in the rank and file in uniform, both enlisted and officers, willing to take on what Secretary Gates has talked about, especially when it comes to TRICARE and some of the other elements of the compensation package?
Well, I think all the folks in the military recognize that the defense budget is going down, that we're coming out of two wars. We're out of Iraq now. Afghanistan is on the slope of a drawdown, and that 3 years or so from now, we're going to have a much, much smaller force deployed overseas. That said, they know that for the last 10 years, they've spent their life deploying in and out of the theater, many of them 1 year on, 1 year off, back and forth to Iraq and Afghanistan. So I think they're concerned that, you know, they're protected and their families' sacrifices are recognized in the midst of this budget cutting, even though they fully are aware that it needs to go on. As far as TRICARE and the future of military benefits, I think all serious actors recognize there's going to have to be some changes there. And there was a report a few weeks back from Todd Harrison here at the Center for Strategic Budgetary Assessment that said if the trajectory of those costs don't change, then the entire defense budget will be consumed by pay, benefits, and health care by 2039.
Todd was on the program to talk to me about that, and if you go to federalnewsradio.com/in-depth and use the search term Todd Harrison, you can find that conversation with him. General Barno, the hearing that you attended, Chairman Conrad spoke there about a change in culture for DOD spending. I think the Defense Department's recognized as a place where it's difficult to change culture. Are you hopeful or optimistic that that is one element of culture that can change at the Pentagon?
Yeah, I absolutely think it can. I think it's actually going to be easier to change that culture out there in the troop units in the field who operate in very austere expeditionary conditions around the world, who know what it is to get by with a little. I think where it's much more difficult to change the culture is in the headquarters, starting at the Pentagon and going out to all the other large and ever-growing flag-level headquarters around the world. That's where it gets tough, and it involves not only people in uniform, but it involves Defense Department civilians and contractors, all of whom have been part of this large uptick that's taken place over the last 10 years. That's going to have to be adjusted downward, and it's going to be painful to do.
The Defense Department's new strategy that was released in December, and now the budget request that you were testifying about before the Senate Budget Committee, and that a lot of other people have weighed in on, are the two big documents that the Pentagon has released to give people an idea of what force structure and capabilities will look like for the foreseeable future. Are you confident that those two documents combined are providing the vision that the people inside the Pentagon, the military, will be able to execute if they're given the resources that are in the budget?
I think the new strategic guidance that was published here recently is a very good document. I was impressed that, unlike most Pentagon documents, it actually sets priorities and it makes choices, which in the world of Washington is a rarity, as I think most of us would recognize. And I think the current budget that was just submitted, the FY13 budget and the future year's defense program, very much fits into that strategy and allows that strategy to be supported. The key question, though, is what comes next in terms of budget cuts, and how deep beyond the current cuts can you go and still maintain that same strategy? And that's a subject that's going to get a lot of discussion here over the next 6 to 9 months.
And as that happens, I hope we can continue to engage in that conversation. General Barno, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Absolutely, Francis. I look forward to that conversation.